WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We still, okay.
I still don't have an idea who this is.
Yeah, we ask Jack every time, and he says he doesn't know it's from TikTok. Do we know who it is?
Yeah. Not Lil Wayne?
That's what I was going to guess.
Not Lil, like Lil Wayne.
Jack?
No, it's,
You Shazamming it now?
No, it's Who Knew Mankind?
Oh, God. I hate when he has to say a name.
And Call Me?
Yeah, you know he's butchering it. Yeah. The delegation is taking notes
right now.
Who Knew Mankind? That's his name. Who Knew Mankind? I keep on saying Hakuna Matata, but it's not a Hakuna Matata.
Matata. Yeah.
All right.
Unbelievable.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. Does it matter to you if the Phillies get the one seed or is the two seed fine? Need the one seed is up to 55%. So probably shouldn't just giveaway game. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Jordan Mailata joins us. We have a lot to talk. I want to ask Jordan Mailata, what makes Jeff Stoutland good at his job? Because we have heard so much about him being good, and he is obviously awesome.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear from somebody on the offensive line, what is it about this
guy? Look, me and Ike have done the Players Lounge with Jordan, mm-hmm. and there's probably no better example of Jordan, of Jeff Stoutland's like greatness at coaching than Jordan.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
he'll have a great answer for you about it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So Elliot joins us until 4 o'clock. I mentioned Nick Sirianni was on the morning show today, and they asked him about the times when he said he will occasionally overrule Kellen Moore on a call, which he shouldn't have said, but he did say it. So on the morning show today, he said when he will choose to do that. Him bringing more people's names into it, I just...
Jason Michael, listen, he's a good center fielder for the middle 2000s, but like, we don't need his question on game day as well.
Yeah, I think, not to belabor what people should say in press conferences, because we did it with Jalen for the 5 months. But A, we have a good team. We talk about everything. I'm the head coach. Of course, I'm going to have some times when I have something to say.
Yeah.
And that it ends up being it. But
yeah, because what I would say right there, that soundbite probably confuses a lot more people, or at least it gives the impression that, well, hold on, how many people are in on this decision to make a call? And who's taking you got up there and took responsibility for everything. So why go past that and explaining about several different other coaches that also have input?
Well, I also think, like, do we overrate who the actual play caller is? Because during the week, they all come up with the plays in certain, like, 3rd and 4, this situation, 3rd and 7, that situation. So then you pick from a set of, like, 5 plays. And then Jalen audibles or Jalen changes the play. Like, I would guess the percentage of plays that Kellen Moore calls on his own that Nick had nothing to do with, Jalen had nothing to do with, and Stoutland had nothing to do with, are extremely small. So I do think this opens up a can of worms where people are going to say Nick shouldn't be stepping in. And then, of course, the one that we know he stepped in on didn't work, and it's the play everyone hates. So it doesn't help. But, you know, Nick's involved in the play calling like he was with Brian Johnson and like he was with Shane Steichen.
Yeah, I never believed that he was going to go sit in a corner somewhere and not be involved with the offense. So I never bought into that this offseason when it was sort of being presented that Nick is in a hands-off coaching sort of position. It's Kellen Moore's offense. He'll run the offense. He'll call the plays. Nick is just there.
Mm-hmm.
I never bought that. I think they allowed that perception to be out there because they felt it would quiet down people, because that's what everybody was up in arms about.
Nick, get Nick out of the offense, get rid of Brian Johnson.
Exactly, yeah. So that's what people were up in arms about, and I think they allowed that perception to go into what you said yesterday, Spike, and you even reiterated it today. That put Nick in a difficult position. You know, he has pride. Right, he's the head coach. He knows he's the one that's taking all the slings and arrows.
Mm-hmm.
So now, how does he resist trying to have a stronghold over his team?
Because he's the one that's going to lose his job
anyway. Like, so how does he resist that temptation?
Publicly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, Brian Johnson, Jalen looks like kind of the same quarterback as last year, and Jaden Daniels is killing it up in Washington. Which
Thank
is where
Brian
Johnson
out,
is.
Yes.
Well, then maybe Brian Johnson should have been a quarterback's coach and not an offensive coordinator.
Maybe. I'm just saying. Yeah,
sounds like a quarterback's coach to me.
Yeah.
So now maybe. So I'm looking at the Phillies lineup.
Uh-oh.
Oh, is it out?
What you got?
Maybe they were fake drinking
Oh, we got a regular lineup.
Yeah, so...
Is everybody in tonight?
Not almost everybody.
Oh.
The daycares. Daycare I'm playing, but
yeah.
The...
Marsh isn't in the... Yeah.
So Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Bohm.
Okay.
Castellanos, Hayes, Sosa,
Hayes is
Stubbs,
back!
Hayes
Rojas.
Is activated. Yep, Cal Stevenson, down.
So no Marsh, no Stott.
Well, they damn sure drank the heaviest last night.
Well, they would just not play. Is it like a pitcher thing?
Well, it's a lefty on the mound for the Cubs too.
Yeah.
And in the playoffs, I think they're going to go lefty with Sosa.
Okay.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think Stott's the everyday second baseman.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think against lefties, it's going to be a platoon.
Sosa's a good fielder, by the way.
They're both great fielders.
Yeah. Philly's insider of the year, right there.
Yeah. Who?
Yeah.
Jack.
Yeah.
That's a nugget you just dropped. You just dropped the nugget. Well,
Jackie there baseball.
You know,
nugget.
You know, digital team. Nugget. Aggregate.
That's a nugget right there. Well, are you happy now?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, let's see how
assuming,
if they win.
Assuming they can.
Assuming someone when they strike out 16
well,
times
yeah,
at night.
Yeah, we see one of them walk over to third base instead of home plate further at bat, but perhaps.
I am shocked Bomer's in there.
Yeah.
I know, because he was putting them back, man.
Yeah.
Again, it's late beer. I don't, you know.
Also,
they're big guys.
There's some butt heavies mixed in there.
Also,
I ain't missed a drinker. I mean, they drink a lot of light beers.
Come on, do you even remember the Bloomsburg Huskies? Every Friday to Saturday morning practices.
By the way, if we had somebody on hold, and she's not there anymore, who is a English teacher who wanted to explain to us in spite of and despite, if you're listening, we won't put you on hold for more than 30 seconds. We'll get to you right there. If you're still listening, please call up 215-592-9494. One more thing on Nick. I thought this was an interesting back and forth from Teddy Bruschi and Rex Ryan on the coach taking the blame in a press conference for something that you didn't do. Jack noticed that when Nick was asked about the interception after the game, he said something to the effect of, we threw an interception or something to that effect. So here is the Bruschi-Rex Ryan back and forth. So Ike, you as a former player, what did you think when the head coach went up there and took the blame for something that wasn't his fault?
Yeah, I thought it was just coaches talk, coaches speak.
Okay.
I've seen it my entire career. Yep. Andy did it every week.
Did you like it?
Well, I mean, they never really actually had to defend me per se.
Of course
right?
Not.
Yes. But here's what I'll tell you. I can appreciate that more than a coach going up there saying it's his fault.
Right.
Or
right.
It's his fault. So that ain't going to fly in the locker room. I don't know what Teddy Bruschi is talking about. I understand Bill may have done things that way, but you played in one place, Teddy. You didn't play around the league with other coaches and other players. So that don't fly in today's age with today's athletes. Can you imagine? Now, this is where Nick was in the wrong, and I understand what Teddy is saying. He threw Kellen Moore under the bus. Well, I don't know if he really threw him under the bus, but he basically said Kellen Moore called the play.
Right, right.
Like last
We're
week.
Talking about the interception.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, sorry.
Last
okay,
week.
Right.
That's what Rex Ryan is talking about. Yeah. Rex Ryan is talking about last week when Nick said in his press conference, Kellen Moore called
the play.
Yeah. And then he said something like, are you trying to start something? Or
right, right. He was asked.
Something of that nature. Yeah. So he did that. And I believe that's why he came out this week and went overboard and over the top with the whole, it's my decision. I make the call. I'm responsible for everything. Because that probably didn't look good, and we didn't make a huge deal out of it because we were talking about other stuff, you know, like going for it on fourth down. But you don't do that.
Yeah.
You don't do that to your assistant coach or your offensive coordinator. You're the head coach. It's your job to get up there, and you're responsible for everything that happens on that team, whether you're directly responsible for it or not.
Well, I think in that instance, it's probably where emotion got the better of Nick, because Nick probably heard all offseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's him
Kellen calls
the
play, and then there's a bad play call. It's like, did you call that? But quickly about if he should have criticized Jalen Moore.
Yeah.
I get what Teddy Bruschi is saying, but I also think Nick has to be aware of the media market he's in. If he goes out and he says, that was on Jalen, he shouldn't have thrown that pass. We already talk all the time. Do they get along? Do they like each other? Da, da, da. I just don't think ripping players over the media is the way to go.
Yeah,
in today's media, especially.
Not the quarterback.
Especially not the quarterback.
And that quarterback and this coach.
To give Nick credit, and on the morning show this morning, he did say Jalen knows he can't fumble that football. So maybe there was something when he says that interception's on we.
I don't know how you explain away the fumble.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying,
no,
like,
you're right,
he didn't say we fumbled the football.
Right.
Yeah.
So, right, he didn't try to cover that.
that was on Jalen.
Yeah.
So Julie is a English teacher from Delco.
Yes.
So Julie, can you explain
Help
to us
out.
The difference between, if there is any, in spite of and despite?
There really isn't a big difference between despite with a D and in spite of. It both means, you know, whatever this person was doing, whatever was Jalen was doing, you know, we were able to do it anyway. The reason that you may want to be careful about using despite with a D is because it sounds too much. Sorry, that's a dog in the car. It sounds too much like two spites, which would be a very different meaning.
Oh, right, like two spites.
To spite would be to make him
something.
Mad.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, because you're then doing it in order to create some negativity. So I would say that you probably are better off using in spite of, just because you don't want anyone to misunderstand.
So we were right, Elliot was wrong.
Well,
okay,
no, but hold on. You're saying to spite and despite sound too similar.
She's right. She's right. You're wrong, Elliot. Sorry.
No, I mean, I don't think they sound, and Julie, I respect your grammatical opinion on this, but I don't think to spite and despite sound similar.
They do, actually, in the way you said it. The first time you said it.
Elliot wrong. Elliot wrong.
Despite and two spites.
Julie,
I had to listen.
If anything, one's two words.
Did he just say to spite, or did he say despite?
Yep. See, he's wrong. Yep. Yeah.
All right.
This is why I thought it. And
thank
I
you for confirming. Elliot wrong.
Look, Julie, as a person who is partially a result of the Rose Tree Media School District, which is in Delaware County,
what?
I thank you for calling and thank you for setting Elliot straight. Thank you, Julie.
Look, she clearly knows English. I don't know if she knows rhyming. Because to spite and despite don't sound similar.
No. You're saying it. No one would say, I can't believe we're doing this, but we're going to.
Yeah.
You're saying to spite. Somebody would say to spite Jalen.
Right.
To spite Jalen.
Okay.
That's how somebody
say
would
quickly.
Say it.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Somebody
you need the D in there.
There you go. There you go.
You want the D, don't you?
Yeah. It's called a big dose of D.
Give it to him.
Oh, my God.
By the way, those are starting to sneak into our Monday shows, too, which I didn't think was going to happen.
Because Mondays are serious.
Yeah,
joking on Monday.
Yeah, I thought our serious shows were
going to
be.
The pause thing has gone to another level since you've gotten here.
Yes,
I tried to get it out. I tried to get it out of the system.
Yeah. So we've talked about the poor defense. The defense has a performance that not only none of us saw coming, but was dominant at the same time. Was just an incredible performance. It's just your gut. Does the defense have a capability on the whole to be better than we thought they were going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've outplayed the offense this season. So I think they've been the better side of the ball on this team. And I think moving forward, I think they do. I mean, they have a very good back seven. And I think that really helps. Now, their front four, not as great. Obviously, Jordan Davis had a great game. Jalen Carter was unbelievable. And I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear Fangio from when he talked earlier, but he said something I thought was interesting. He said Jalen essentially played with, you know, more focus this week or had a better week of practice. You do wonder if being benched for that series against the Falcons really kind of invigorated him this week to be better. Because he was everything that the Eagles need him to be and hope he could be. I mean, there's probably 20 players in the league that can say they have the talent to maybe be the best defensive player in the league. And Jalen, I think in games like Sunday, showed he is on that list.
Well, but do you trust he can do that week in, week out?
No, I don't.
Well,
I mean,
there's no reason to trust it yet.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think he has the skill to do it. He has not done it yet.
Yeah, there has to be a will and a desire to be at that level week in and week out. And it's why everybody doesn't reach that level.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody doesn't reach that level. You know, I got a chance to play with Dalk, and I got a chance to play with T.O., two of the greatest athletes I've ever played with. I watched the way they trained. I saw the way they practiced. I saw the way their approach was, and it didn't let down no matter who we played. Dalk was the same way if we were playing the Jets or the Jags or was the Cowboys or Green Bay. It did not matter. T.O. wanted to roast whomever he was going up against, no matter the competition.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that level of potential, there has to be an investment in the work that's being done. There has to be a sacrifice there. And that's where Jalen has to take his game. He has to take his preparation, his training, and the desire to be that great of a player has to be there every day. It can't just be because I got benched the last week.
Right.
You know, and everybody was talking about it has to be there every week. He has the potential. He does. But there are a lot of athletes that have potential to be great and aren't great.
But he
greatness is not achieved by everyone. I couldn't be great. I didn't have the ability. You know what I mean? I don't care how hard I worked. I wasn't going to be Lawrence Taylor.
Well, so
right? Like, I just wasn't.
That's what I'm saying about Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter has the physical ability to be great. Where if he puts in that level of work, then you're talking about all-time greatness. Yeah, so
yes, sir.
I mean, I think he played 51 snaps, and I saw a stat. He had a negative impact on the Saints' offense for almost half of them. I mean, that's absurd to do that from that spot, too.
Well, and you talked about the edge guys. I mean, they were the defense was great. Brandon Graham, I mean, this is more of a next year question because the players are what they are, but Brandon Graham leading the team, the edge guys in snaps, when you just paid a guy $17 million, that is going to be an issue all year. And I hope BG can hold up the entire year playing as much as he's playing.
Well, and the other thing, and this is maybe later in your discussion, but they might have to try to convince BG to come back. I mean, he's their best defensive edge. Perhaps by far?
I asked him four times during the show yesterday. Well, during the Brandon Graham show. The first thing I said was, hey, can we convince you to come back? BG said, let's get through this year and then we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. BG did not say no.
Well, I think he's seeing that he might have another, you know, $14 million, not that much, but he might have a nice check coming.
Yeah, he will. It won't be $4 million.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're getting him for a discount this year.
They'd be in trouble without him.
So we had a report that maybe you did say to spite, and I had Jack go get the audio.
Uh-oh.
Here is the audio. That it sounds.
It does sound it
to spite. She was right.
She was right.
Julie was right.
So all right. Well,
it might not have been what you said, but it does sound.
It sounds like it.
I will acknowledge it sounds like it, but I said despite.
Okay.
But I agree when you say it fast. Yes.
So you should move. We were right the entire time, Ike and I. Yeah, they're waiting to make Jalen mad. Clearly.
Yeah. No, he's popular in the locker room now.
Everyone loves him.
And by the way, that's why I said something.
Oh, so you thought
I said something.
Like, too spite.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Right. You're really disappointing, Elliot.
Yeah, well, trust me.
No, we love you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Like a miniature Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
You really you look like him for real today.
Oh, yeah.
When my beard gets a little longer. Yeah.
You got to come in with jeans and a blazer.
Yep.
Yep. The same blazer every time.
You got to grow about 8 more inches.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, he should come on the Clap Your Hands podcast.
All right. Coming up, Elliot, I appreciate these.
Thank you for having me on.
Always great hours.
We didn't yell at each other today. That was good.
Remember, Elliot is here every Tuesday at 3 o'clock for an hour. What did you say in my ear there, Jack? I just didn't.
It's the old Twitter.
Oh, I did it.
Nice. Beautiful.
No worries. So coming up next, Jordan Mailata joins us to talk about, one, how they were able to keep up the same level of effectiveness without two starters. Also, what he sees in Nick Sirianni as a head coach, and what makes Jeff Stoutland such a great offensive coordinator, offensive line coach. We have Jordan Mailata next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks joins us for the 3 o'clock hour, brought to you by Groundworks. Don't let a weak foundation sack your home's value. Schedule a free inspection at groundworks.com. Elliot, I never miss a chance to have you give your Phillies opinion with Jack here. So, Jack, are you prepared?
Can't wait.
Okay. Elliot, you've heard the beginning of the show. Did you think the Phillies made a mistake by punting today's game by partying last night?
Yeah, so... Look, I understand they want to celebrate. When you haven't won the division for 13 years, this is what I've said. Like, this was the next step for the Phillies to win this. So it's impressive that they did it. My only worry is, sometimes I think this team lacks a bit of a seriousness that shows up in big moments. Like, their whole vibe and, like, way they go about things is celebrating, like, a little bit of, like, I don't want to say, like, frat bro culture, but kind of
that's their vibe.
Yeah, it's their vibe. And I think it helps them a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think in moments like last night, it would have helped for somebody to step up and say, you know what? Like, there's still bigger things at play here.
Just the one seed. It's right there. It's right there. We can go grab it. Somebody mentioned to me on Twitter, you don't think the Dodgers are going to celebrate when they win the National League West?
Of course they are.
Let them.
Yeah.
Let them give away a game, and then we don't have to worry about it. They've got a tough series ahead of them. The opportunity to go grab that one seed is there. The Dodgers have the Padres for three games who are... next to the Mets, probably the hottest team in baseball since the All-Star break. Let them.
Well, and also, they've done this celebration. Like, the videos are fun to see, for sure. And
yes.
They definitely go crazy, and they play the song, which, by the way, I'm happy Dancing My Own is back. I think it should stay.
Oh, boy. Rios is going to level you.
Well, Rios' take on that is good, I will admit. It is a good take. But it's their song, and I think they've won a lot of big games with it. But, yeah, I mean, how many times do you need to, you know, do that?
Every year.
Yeah, and there will be chances. You know, I just think there should be. Yeah, when you have a chance to accomplish a first or second seed, I think that should take precedent.
Party on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, I do think once you pass on partying, that's it.
But you can party anytime you want.
But it's not the same.
You don't think these guys can party?
But it's in the moment.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Right. I think I think had they not actually, it would have shown a level of like seriousness and commitment that would have impressed a lot of people.
It would not have impressed anybody.
Imagine if they came out.
The majority of fans enjoyed watching that last
Right. But
night.
Imagine if they came out and said, you know what? There's bigger things here. We're happy we did it, but we're going to take this one easy because we know that there's more to accomplish.
I'd have said, boom.
I don't know.
I think people would have said,
look how locked in they are. This is the year. Da, da, da.
People like you would have said that.
I think the fans would have
But then
said
there
that.
Are, yeah. there, no, there are, fans enjoy that stuff.
Well,
you guys are underestimating how much fans
but I think,
enjoy watching that.
I think
you realize that's why that post-game show is as long as it was last night. And I stayed there watching about all of it.
Look, I agree the fans love it. But I think that with the Phillies, we allow them to do that type of thing because it's who they are. I just don't think the Eagles could get away with
something like that. Because it's different in football. It's different. We give our hats and T-shirts and we move on. We don't pop bottles of champagne.
Right, the celebration in the clubhouse. Yeah.
It only happens if you win the conference title. You win the NFC championship game or the AFC championship game, then they're celebrating. But in basketball, they don't do it. In football, they don't do it. Hockey, they don't do it. Baseball, they do it. I don't know. It's baseball.
I wouldn't normally do this, and we'll get to the Eagles stuff with Elliot in a second, but the one caller who agrees with me, I just have to David in Westchester.
This is the first one?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Rios, but Rios was predictable. Degree. Yeah. 215-592-9494. David in Westchester, you're on WIP.
Hey, LSU Parks, how you doing?
What up, David?
You're absolutely right. When I was watching last night, I was jumping up and down. I was cheering. I was yelling. But they have given too many games away with Walker pitching this year to afford to give, another one away tonight. You know, bring somebody from AAA and let them pitch. Or, you know, just to hold off until you secure it and, you know, party for the rest of the year when you win the World Series because that's what they want. Mm-mm. And you can't be going and giving this game away. It's too important. And as I stated, I will reiterate, they have given too many games away already this year. They can't afford to give another one away.
Well, maybe if Bryce hadn't watched fly balls that hit the wall instead.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I just think, too.
Thank you, David. I appreciate you agreeing.
Nobody's minimizing their accomplishment.
Yes.
It was one of their biggest accomplishments of the past, whatever many, 13 years. So it's not about saying, you know, there's bigger goals. Like there are, but that's not to minimize what they did. It's more about saying, you have an important game today. It's just an important game. Like, it is what it is.
It is not an important game today.
Oh, I disagree.
There's only, five games left, and they're up a game, half a game. I mean, every game's important.
They're down again.
Nah, I'm just telling you, that's not the way they... You think Rob Thompson is going to manage this game like he needs to win this at all costs?
He said to him last night, come today to prepare to play, didn't he?
Because he has to say the right thing.
It's the right thing.
Well, okay, then the wrong thing would have been to have two barrels of beer and everything else in there. Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't supply the players all this stuff and then say, well, tomorrow's a big game. Right. Make sure you guys are ready to go.
Now, it was all basically light beer. So,
they went across the street.
Yeah.
I think they know they got four games left after this to still take care of business. I think the Dodgers playing the Padres does play a part in it. I haven't looked at the Brewers schedule, but I'm pretty sure they got it. Who do they have?
The Brewers Mets this weekend.
Yeah.
They play the Mets. So, when I look at the two teams I'm trying to stay ahead of, we have the easiest schedule.
Yeah, until the minor league
so
lineup's out there tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, they will tomorrow and the next three games.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
All right. Elliot, we got to take you to task for something.
Wow.
Can't wait. I can only imagine what of numerous things this is about.
All right, here's what you were wearing the other day.
Yeah, exactly. No, just kidding. My Brazil pictures. Where is it now? Yeah.
I couldn't believe this when Jack pointed it out to me.
Yes.
You gave Jalen Hurts' performance on Sunday an A.
I did.
He turned the ball over twice.
Yes.
Threw for zero touchdowns. The offense, 15 points. He did some good things. But you gave him an A.
Yeah. So
this is the highest grade you can give somebody.
Correct. Well, there's an A plus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah. No. So look, I will say in the moment, game winning drive, I just gave him an A. I think if you lead a game winning drive,
threw the ball 5 yards.
Okay. Hold on. Hold on.
It's great read.
All right. Look, everyone said he couldn't do anything pre-snap, and then he does something pre-snap, and it's like, well, that's easy to do.
That's a great read. I thought it was a great read, great throw, hit him in stride.
And he recognized the coverage. I mean, it was a good play.
It was.
But I will say, now obviously having rewatched the game a bunch of times, and you're not in the moment. Mm. Yes, he was much more of a C minus that day.
Well, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, if you watched,
oh, you let him bully you.
Well, if you watched,
no, I mean, because
your eye test is good.
No, what I was saying is, I think in the moment you lead a game winning drive. That needs to be recognized.
I think if you watched a couple of the quarterbacks play last night, you see what an A game looks like.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I'm saying he got it solely because of that. But
I'm
fine.
Okay, you can throw four touchdowns and zero interceptions. That can happen too.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're getting at too, though, is
hey,
what
Josh is on. Josh is on a.
He's on a tear, man.
Yeah, he's on some type of tear. Remember, he was voted the most overrated quarterback in the league?
His QB rating so far this year is 137. His QBR is 98. He has 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, completing 75% of his passes.
Well, did you see Jaden Daniels in Washington? Mm-hmm. They've scored on every single possession, I think, like over the last 18
last
possessions
games,
or something like that. Yeah, they
haven't
punted.
Jaden Daniels has not thrown an interception this year.
Yep, hasn't thrown an interception.
And
I knew he was going to be good.
Yo, that throw.
The throw at the end was unbelievable.
The touchdown throw at the end while he was getting hit was, it reminded me of the Corey Clement throw in the Super Bowl.
In terms of perfect placement.
In terms of, you could only put that ball in one spot. He looks like he's going to be a player.
He's going to be a problem.
Man, holy cow.
Well, I think too, that throw.
He's going to be a problem.
That throw is a difference between a quarterback that can make all the throws and a quarterback that has an actual strong arm.
Well, the thing that I think you were about to say, and I think it speaks to it, is that, and this might be the right thing because of what I think he is as a quarterback, but we have lowered the bar for Jalen so far that they won, and a game-winning drive is a game-winning drive is a game-winning drive, but we have seen quarterbacks lead game-winning drives, and then we saw what we saw on Sunday, which was not Jalen picking apart the defense, leading the drive. I'm glad he threw the pass, and that was the pass that he had to. But
yeah.
To be fair,
that was third and 16.
He also had a really nice pass to Johnny Wilson right in his hands for a long game that was dropped.
Yeah.
Jalen was good on the last drive. That is what it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think to where we are now on Tuesday, I think what's very clear to me is people have misdiagnosed what's wrong with this team, if you want to say that. I feel like the last 2 days, there's been a lot of they're winning despite Nick. I don't think that's the case. I think they're winning despite Jalen over these last year and a half.
You mean in spite? In spite of?
In spite of.
Despite, right?
In spite of.
Ooh,
in spite
boy.
Of.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. Isn't it the same thing? Despite?
Yeah. Despite
to
Jalen.
Do it something despite it. But whatever. In spite of, right?
Yes.
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We could turn that into a 45-minute argument.
Yeah, trust me, I was ready to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I could tell. You're gearing up. We're not doing the grammar one. Yeah.
The problem with this team is not Nick's situation.
You have something else, man.
Despite makes sense.
Yes.
Okay,
my bad.
I'm sure there's a lot of grammar police
out there. No. Believe me. I'm with you.
In spite of Jalen is correct.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I just think whatever.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Will you look up despite too then?
Well, despite Jalen is correct, but I don't think it was what you were trying to say.
Okay. Right.
I'm trying to say in spite of Jalen.
In spite of Jalen. Okay.
All right, we got it. Yes. Keep it rolling.
The reason this team struggles is not because of Nick Sirianni's situational play call, the situational decision making. I disagreed with the decision at the end of the first half, to be clear.
Okay.
Right. I thought I didn't like the decision and I didn't like the play call. So that was bad, right? But over the first 3 games, the bigger issue by far has been Jalen's turnovers. And it was the bigger issue on Sunday. That game wasn't close because of Nick Sirianni. They didn't win in spite of Nick Sirianni. They won because the defense was awesome. And the fact Jalen turned the ball over twice should have been enough to lose the game. If you look over the first 2 weeks of the season, teams that lose the turnover battle, I think they're like 7-26 or something like that.
The Eagles got two of them.
The Eagles got, well, that's despite the Eagles. Or that, now I can't come in. That's not counting the
Eagles. Oh, it's not counting.
That's
Eagles.
Other
okay.
teams. There's like 7-26.
Okay.
If you look since week one of last year, since with the stretch where Jalen has more turnovers than any other quarterback in the NFL, the Eagles are 7-6. So they've been able to win in spite of Jalen turning the ball over nonstop. Normally, if your quarterback turns it over that way, you don't win.
Sure.
Right?
I agree. Yeah.
So they got out of that game, and Jalen was awesome on the final drive. Like, he deserves credit. All that's true. But they won that game even though they got two turnovers from the quarterback, and that's the biggest problem. It's not Sirianni. Sirianni's game managing is not the biggest problem. Jalen's turnovers is the biggest problem with this team.
I agree some. It certainly is a problem. But if Nick Sirianni is taking points when he needs to take points, when he's making decisions out there, and I'm speaking primarily about Sunday. I don't really have a problem in the Atlanta game. I know a lot of other people did.
Yeah.
I did not have a problem in the Atlanta game with Coach going for it and not going for it. But Sunday, I thought he was pressing, and quite frankly, that trickles down to the players because you're putting pressure on them to convert for you in the decision that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
And Stan, if you're putting points on the board and maybe the score is 6-3 or what have you, then maybe the quarterback doesn't feel the need to have to try to score when he's down there and make that throw. I'm not excusing the throw, but I can't excuse Nick's play calling decisions and decisions to go for it as if that didn't have an impact on the offense as well.
I agree with both things. I agree with Elliot in that overall the bigger thing has been the turnovers from Jalen. If I think the thing that I get back to is if I could bet, if you allowed me to bet which one is easier to solve, it's Nick.
Well, yeah.
He knows what whether I don't care what he says in the I care what he says in the press conference. I care what he says in the interview. I don't want to say I don't care.
He knows that wasn't a good decision.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When I say I don't care, I mean I don't know, think he always says exactly what he believes, and that's the correct thing.
It's easier to make that decision than it is to play quarterback, is essentially what
you're
saying.
Yes. Right. Well, because they have said ultimately they have. And I do think he's pressing. I said it yesterday. I do think
don't think he is.
I think he's putting.
Nick.
Nick.
Oh, yeah.
I think his play call, his decision making is mostly the same it's been during his time here. I mean, they've gone for it on fourth, I think, more than any other team.
Yeah, that's really the only one that I have a problem with.
And honestly, in the Super Bowl, he was conservative there, too, and he kicked that field goal instead of going for it on fourth. So I think this idea.
But that's the inconsistency that everybody is complaining about. If you're going to be this aggressive guy who goes for it, didn't go for it when it's 4th and 6 in the freaking Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was a mistake. I agree.
Right, but then don't tell me how ballsy you are, and I'm gonna do everything I can to win the game when there's 3 points to be had on the board, and he doesn't take them.
Which is why I think even in the Super Bowl, it got in his head.
It did.
You know, I, which is why I said yesterday, I think part of the problem with Nick currently is the situation that whether the Eagles meant to do this or
they
not.
Put him in.
Yeah. I think he is in a situation. Just let me finish.
Go ahead.
I think he is in a situation where at least publicly, and Nick very clearly hears what's going on publicly,
which is
a mistake on his end to react to what is going on publicly. But I do think all of the offseason conversation, which, you know, you said yesterday we're responsible for. I think we're responsible for in part. I think a lot of what came out of the Eagles, whether it's something they said or whether it is something that was leaked, I think the image of Nick to everyone, to media,
they didn't do him any favors.
Yeah, to fans is that this guy's not doing anything this year.
Right.
All he's the coordinators,
right.
And there's no way he doesn't hear that as a.
Well, we can all agree Nick obviously impacts the game based off the reaction of the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
Well, and then now everyone's sort of in a tizzy, and he's in a tizzy because there is a lack of clarity, and that's why when he said. We have the quote somewhere when he said, "Well, once in a while he's gonna overrule Kellen."
Yeah,
and that wouldn't normally be a problem mm-hmm. for a head coach whose background is offense. Of course, we think of course. But in this particular situation, that everything is now so weird publicly about what his role is, I think it could get into his head.
Well, I also think there's a little bit of, there was those 9 days, excuse me, before the, after the Tampa loss to when it was confirmed he was coming back, where the perception, true, not whatever, is the Eagles were seriously considering firing him.
Yep.
So now, when there is when there is any type of mistake, the thing from fans is, well, this guy almost got fired anyway, so clearly right. he's yeah. the problem.
Which is why he's a lame duck without being a lame duck. He has more than 1 year on his contract, but he feels like a lame duck coach right now.
Yeah, I think all that's true. But I also, if you look at the game, there were like four key fourth down decisions he made, and I think he probably got three of them right. So the one was bad. I disagree with the logic of it. I wouldn't have done it. But all day yesterday, it was, you know, is Nick close to getting fired? They won in spite of him. Like, Jalen was the one that turned the ball over twice. Like, it's shocking to me that, like Nick's become the punching bag. Nick's mm-hmm. where all the blame goes. And I think Jalen is escaping a little bit because he has had a major turnover problem. And that's the biggest issue with the team. Like,
you think Jalen is escaping criticism?
I do, yeah.
More than he more than he
now,
might
look, he's
normally.
A quarterback, so obviously.
He's been criticized all three games.
Yesterday? You would know more than me. I mean, but
here's what I'm saying is that he's a topic of discussion every week.
Yeah. Agreed with that.
So, and unless we haven't been doing much praising of Jalen Hurts through the first 3 weeks. So, what's the opposite?
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, but yesterday, I'm talking about the reaction to this game.
Well, it was more Nick yesterday.
Yes.
But, mm-hmm. but here's where I agree with you, and in the sense that I think. There's a portion of Jalen's fan base, right? These people that are just Jalen fans. Mm-hmm. They feel like he gets criticized too much. Yesterday is an opportunity to not criticize him and criticize someone else, even though he had the two turnovers in the game.
I think the difference is shown in this way. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they won on Sunday, and I think most of the focus on Jalen was they won the game. He led the game-winning drive. They won. Blah, blah, blah. So he ends up with some credit after that. Mm-hmm. Whereas it seems like the situation that Nick is in, here's the difference between mm-hmm. Jalen and the difference Jalen and Nick is Jalen is capable of getting credit, whereas
sure.
Nick is not capable
right.
of getting
credit. It's all criticism. And that's, right. what, that's true.
So
that's,
if they win, it's what, let's say Saquon catches that ball. Against right. Atlanta.
Yeah, Nick's not getting the credit.
It's Kellen.
Kellen's
it's Saquon.
Yeah.
It's Jalen.
Yeah.
Jalen threw a dime. Saquon's the best free agent signing ever.
Right.
Kellen
absolutely.
Moore, finally, we got a real play caller.
Yep.
But yes, and going into New Orleans and winning, everybody's, what resolve? And we tried to talk about it yesterday. Well, where do you think they get that resolve?
Well, so that's my thing, and I'm curious for your guys' perspective, and Jack on this too, since he mm-hmm. is not the biggest Nick guy. Like, I don't get why Nick doesn't have the fans that you talked about that Jalen has. Like, I understand why people like Jalen, right? I get that. He's a like, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick has come here. He turned the franchise around. When he got hired, no one wanted to work with Howie. They had just won four games. They didn't have a quarterback. They had major front office problems. Nick got here. They made the playoffs the first year. Second year, they almost win the Super Bowl, right? Third year, obviously a disaster at the end, but they did make the playoffs. And I think from a personality perspective, Nick is the closest thing I'll ever see in my lifetime to a Philadelphia fan on the sideline coaching the Eagles. Mm-hmm. So it just surprises me that...
Well, they don't want a fan coaching the team. That's part of the problem.
I agree with Ike there.
But also, you hear, you know, you want coaches or players to relate to the fans. Obviously, people love Bryce, right, because of everything he does.
Yeah.
Like, Nick does all that same stuff.
But he's the coach. So that's part. Listen, right or wrong, this is what people view. They don't want the coach to feel like he's a player. They want him to be the adult in the room. They want him to be the level-headed one. They don't want him to be the emotional one. Right, it's okay to show mm-hmm. emotion when you win or what have you, or have a little passion.
Yeah.
But Nick, and we've seen him. He's so up and down on the sidelines with his emotions. You don't see many other coaches, if any other coaches in the league, doing that.
Act that way.
I also think, generally, people would rather... It's a lot easier mentally as a fan to feel, if all we change is this one guy, mm-hmm. then everything's fine, as opposed to being... a little more honest about with yourself about, no, it reminds me of when when Brett Brown was a coach and everybody wanted to blame Brett Brown, his rotations, I would hear about all the time. I was like, you're telling me that playing the eight guys in a different order or something is going to change the outcome of this? So I think what it is there is an emotional response to saying, as the coach.
Because, you know, I think that's definitely part of it. I think you're right that, you know, maybe they want, like, look, a lot of fans grew up with the Andy Reid type of head coach on the sidelines. So they're used to seeing something different with a successful head coach. But the resume is there. And to your point, Spike, you could argue. So in the offseason, when Jeffrey Lurie spoke and he talked about why this team collapsed last year, he said they showed no resiliency. Or, you know, I'm paraphrasing, something along those lines. Like, that team showed a ton of resiliency on Sunday. And I think that Nick deserves credit for that.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Yeah.
We're Nick guys. I'm a Nick guy. But I also understand where people.
But if you look at the quarterbacks that turn it over as much as Jalen, the top 10, they're either all bad or they're Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff. And we both agree they have great head coaches. So I just don't know why Nick doesn't get that same level of respect.
All right. We have, speaking of Kellen Moore, Nick talked, was it this morning when he talked about when he would call plays?
Yes.
Okay. So he was on with WIP Morning Show this morning. He talked about when he would actually call a play. We'll talk about that. And Teddy Bruschi and Rex Ryan had a really interesting debate about taking the blame for what goes wrong. Mm-hmm. And we will talk about that next with Elliot. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.